Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Amen, amen. Thank you, worship team, for that wonderful worship experience this morning as we just prepare ourselves to hear from God. And I love times of worship because it really just helps me get into the zone with God. It just prepares my heart, kind of slows down the RPMs of my life. Right, and just gets me to that point where I can just, okay, God, I'm ready, and so I just love these times of worship and that, and I hope you do too. Just entering in to God's presence and just feeling Him close and sensing Him near. Well, today I want to conclude the two-part series that I began a couple of weeks ago called "Don't Stop," and we started off this series with "Don't Stop" on 6. And we were talking about Joshua and the Israelites marching around the fortified city of Jericho. And we talked about three reasons why people stop short and miss out on God's blessing. And those three reasons is because people's perspective gets blocked. And then their progress, you know, people's progress doesn't seem obvious. It's not obvious. And the third reason is that the process just seems unending, and it just goes on and on and on, kind of like that Energizer Bunny with that big bass drum, boom, 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 right? It just goes on and on and on and on. But this morning, we're concluding this series, right, with "Don't Stop, God's Got This." All right, this is where we're camping out today, and if you were like, man, that series on "Don't Stop at 6, I really like to hear that. You know, we record all of our sermons onto CD. Within about a month or so, we're gonna actually have them online. You can access them right from our website and that. But if you would like a sermon CD, you can talk to our sound techs back there. They're just awesome guys and that. We don't have any ladies doing sound, do we, anymore? We used to. My goodness. Well, hey, if you're a lady and you're a woman here and you love sound, we would love to educate you on that board and train you. It is easy peasy, and it's out of the spotlights, real cool. Where was I? Oh, don't stop. God's got this. That's right. Yeah, we'll take men too. Yeah. Yeah, we're not picky or choosy here. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So I'm just gonna invite you to read with me as we put the text up here on the screen from Hebrews 10:36, and this is a text we used a couple weeks ago, and this is what we're basing the series on. Let's read it together. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. Oh boy, you know what? What I'd love you to do, and sometimes I fly through scriptures and stuff like that on a Sunday morning. I just, if you're taking notes or anything or whatever, write down the scripture references and stuff. Because I know sometimes I fly through scriptures and if I had to wait for everybody to always flip to where I'm flipping to, we would be here till like 2 p.m. sometimes. And I'm just kind of being a respecter of your time. I really am a firm believer of bringing your Bibles on Sunday morning. It's great. Today we're going to be working in Acts chapter 27. So that's a little preview. If you want to start flipping there, you can. But listen, there's a reason why I sometimes put the scriptures up on the board, just so that you're right there. But copy those references down and do your study afterwards. Read over it and say, hey, pastor, yeah, you were right on. Or, hey, pastor, that was some heresy you preached last week. So, right on. Anyways, the reason why some of us miss out on God's blessing is because we give up or give in too quickly instead of pressing in with perseverance. Perseverance isn't easy, especially when our perspective is blocked, right? The progress isn't obvious, or the process just seems unending. But we're encouraged to persevere, which means don't stop. Don't stop. Today, I want to talk to you about God's purpose in our lives and that no matter what's perceived in the moment, there's something greater to be received after that moment. So don't stop because God's got this.
He's got this. Now, to unpack this, I want to steer your attention, as I mentioned already, Acts chapter 27. And we're going to be reading about one of Paul's journeys. Now, Paul was a first century follower of Jesus who wrote nearly half of the New Testament. So if you know where the New Testament section is of your Bible, right, that starts with Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You know what? I tell you, Paul wrote over half of those. He wrote about half of those books, right? And so Paul, amazing writer, wonderful man of God, right? We would think, man, what a great guy. But you know what? Paul wasn't always a great guy. In fact, Paul had to change his name. And the reason why he changed his name is because, man, people didn't know how to take him. See, his name was Saul before. And Saul, y'all, was not a good guy. Saul hated Christians. He hated Christianity. He hated this new Jesus movement that was rising up in the first century. And he would hunt down Christians and either imprison them or execute them. I mean, he was not a cool guy at all. And then something happened on a road trip down to Damascus that really changed and altered the course of his life. I mean, he did a 180 turn. See, he encountered Jesus. And how many know when somebody encounters Jesus, there's just a change in their life, right? There's just a change in somebody's life when they encounter Jesus. Maybe that happened to you when you encounter, well, probably did. Anybody here who's got Jesus in your heart, you know that there's been a radical change, right? And so there was a radical change in Paul's life. And so the mercenary became a missionary. And the guy who was doing the hunting also became the hunted. And so he went through a name change. He went from Saul to Paul. And Paul suffered a great deal after he surrendered his life to Christ. So this whole idea of Christianity being a crutch just to get you through life, I want to just tell you, at Abundant Life, we don't preach that at all. There's no such things as crutches to get you through, right? You either persevere or you don't, right? You either win or you don't win. There's nothing easy about Christianity. And especially not for any of those faith-based groups that are applying for funding for the summer. It's not easy for them right now and stuff. So Christianity's not a crutch, all right? And Paul was no slouch either, right? He did whatever it took to spread the good news about Jesus, but why would he do it if it wasn't so easy? Why would he do it? You know, I tell you, he just was so passionate because Jesus made such a change in his life. And there's many of you in here today that you've made that decision and you could testify, life hasn't been easy, but wow, there's no life like it. There's no life like it. You wouldn't change your mind. You wouldn't change things, change your decision for making Christ Lord and Savior of your life for a moment, right? And so when we're reading from our text in Hebrews, it's not very clear on who wrote the book. Some think that it was a few different authors. Some may have thought it was actually Paul that wrote it. And I mean, when he's talking about perseverance, what better guy to talk about perseverance, to write about perseverance, who had to persevere himself? Now, in Acts 27, Paul is in transition and he's in trouble. Now, by the way, if you're here this morning and you're in either one of those states this morning, you're in transition or you're in trouble, I want you to know it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay because God's got this, all right? God's got this, and God does some of his best work in situations like that. He does some of his best work in those times, right? And so now Paul is in both, right? He's not only in transition, but he's also in trouble. He's on a ship headed for Rome. Now, how many would love to go to Rome? I'd love to go to Rome. I'd love to see the Colosseum. I'd love to tour around and just enjoy the sights and the scenes. Paul wasn't going on a vacay. All right? He wasn't going on a vacation. See, Paul was in chains. Paul was a prisoner headed for trial in Rome. And he's on board with 275 other passengers. Now, it's one thing to face difficulty when it's the result of your own actions, right? Or your own stupidity. This wasn't the case, right? This was totally somebody else's doing, and it wasn't even his fault. And now he's encountering unexpected difficulty. Now, today, that's what, you know, and today we're going to dive into this as we talk about having a spirit of faith in the midst of difficulty, trusting that God's purpose will still be fulfilled that God has indeed got this. So let's pick up the story in Acts 27, verse 9. And it says here in verse 9, I'll be reading from the NIV, and it says here, "Much time has been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous, because by now it was after the fast." Now, just so that you understand this, I want to stop right there, the fast. And why is it capitalized? I'll tell you why. The fast is the Day of Atonement. It's Yom Kippur, so it's a Jewish celebration, and so they've been fasting, so they're already weak. All right. Has anybody ever tried fasting? Right. It's good. It's great for your body, but I tell you, your energy level goes. Right. So that just kind of gives you a bit of understanding of what's going on, and it also gives you a timeline of when this is. So Paul warned them in verse 10. "Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to the ship, or to ship and cargo, and to our own lives as well." Now, Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, and I'm really excited. Has anybody heard about this new movie coming out called Paul? Has anybody heard about this? And it's really neat because there's a lot of hype behind it. I'm excited. I'm hoping they didn't butcher this, but it's following the Apostle Paul, but also the gospel writer Luke, who wrote all of the Gospel of Luke and wrote Acts, which we're talking about today. So it's really neat. The really cool thing is the guy who played Jesus in The Passion of the Christ is going to play Luke in this one. So it's kind of really, really, really neat. So anyways, that's just a little sidebar. That wasn't even in my notes. That one was for free, okay? So Luke wrote the book of Acts and is giving an account of what happened. Sailing was doubtful in September and impossible by November, right? This event, guess when it occurred? In October. October, around 59 AD. Now, conditions weren't favorable at all, and they rarely are in our lives, right? Paul warned warned everyone on the ship that disaster was inevitable. Sailing in during this time and was going to be disastrous. Now, in verse 11, we continue on. "But the centurion." Don't you just love it when there's a but? Sometimes it's a good but, sometimes it's a bad but. But this is one of those bad buts. All right? Bear with me. "But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship." Now, let's cut this Roman soldier a bit of slack, shall we? He's got an important job to do. His orders were to chaperone these prisoners and make sure all of them were transported to Rome to either stand trial or execution. And who do you think is the most obvious choice to listen to in a situation like this? The ship's captain, who's been in to nautical schools, read map, knows how to read maps, knows the ship like the back of his hand, knows these waters, probably sailed on these waters for many, many, many years. Or are you going to trust some preacher who just happens to be one of the prisoners, right? Captain, preacher, captain, preacher. Well, obviously, logic would say go with the captain. But you and I, we have the luxury of kind of reading after the fact, right? This story, this centurion, however, is experiencing things in real time. While we can just read ahead and know how the story ends, he doesn't get that luxury. And we also have the luxury of knowing more than what the centurion knows. We know that Paul is more than just a prisoner in chains. He's no ordinary preacher. Paul was not on the boat because he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. No, Paul is on the boat to fulfill God's purpose. God is trying to speak through Paul to warn these men, and they're not listening. They're not listening. And this right here is a prime example of how many of us live our lives. We'll listen to all other voices on the boat. We'll listen to all other indicators. We'll listen to everybody else's idea and opinions. We'll even listen to somebody's assessment on the situation before we will listen to God, right? Listen to what God is saying. And there will come a time in our lives where logic, it's just not going to work anymore. And our own understanding is not going to be enough. And there will come times in our lives where decisions need to be made. And the voice of reason won't stand a chance against the wisdom of God. Sometimes you can just walk by, sometimes you've just got to walk by faith and not by sight. The question is will I be steered by my senses or will I be steered by God's Holy Spirit? Now, every ship is steered by something. The ship represents the direction we're headed in life. The ship represents all the things that God has given you. Your life is headed in the direction, your life is headed in a particular direction because of what you're being steered by. A lot of us are like the centurion. Instead of listening to the voice of God, we're listening to what our senses are telling us, what our instinct is telling us, what our mind is telling us. And let's be honest, sometimes what God is calling us to do sounds absolutely, you're ready for it, ridiculous. It sounds absolutely ridiculous. That doesn't make sense, God. Now let me say this. If your life is being judged and steered and directed by your senses, it's going to be difficult to develop a strong faith. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian for or a follower of Jesus. If you're going by your own senses, by your gut instinct, instead of listening to the voice of God, being guided by the Holy Spirit, you're going to have a tough time developing strong faith. And you're going to feel like you're a ship in the middle of ocean being tossed around by the waves, right? If everything always had to make sense in order for you to obey God, you may just find yourself missing out on some wonderful victories and some wonderful blessing. I read a book once titled, "If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat." That's it. You can't stay in the boat and expect to walk on water. Wonderful book, wonderful book. It didn't make sense for Joshua to walk once around the walls of Jericho for 6 days, you know, and that took an hour each time they had to do it. And then on the seventh day to march around 7 times, right, in the hot sun, that's 7 hours in the hot sun. I was at the ruins of Jericho. It was a hot day. I can't imagine wearing a whole bunch of armor, all right, and marching around wondering when we're going to give the shout because Joshua wasn't giving them any indication. But it sounded ridiculous to do this, right? And it didn't make a bit of sense for Moses when he led the whole people of Israel out of Egypt. It didn't make any sense for him to put his staff in the Red Sea and expect the water to part. It didn't make a bit of sense for Daniel to have a sleepover in a den of hungry lions, right? It didn't make sense for 3 young guys to stand for God and then survive in a fiery furnace. It didn't make any sense for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Messiah of all, the one and only Son of God, to go and lie and die upon a cross and say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." It didn't make any sense that a few days later that Jesus would rise again and then be spotted by 500 different witnesses, right? And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and it didn't make any sense that 120 people gathered in a prayer room got so filled with the Holy Spirit that caused a chain reaction that 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus that day. It didn't make any sense that a great persecution towards Christians in the first century didn't snuff them out, but rather fueled a movement that is still riding on today. Are you living by what your sense, by living your life by what makes sense? If so, you might just be missing out on something. You might just be missing out. God does ridiculous things. He does ridiculous things. If we stopped every time things didn't make sense and think, "Oh, what's this going to cost me? People are going to think I'm weird. People are going to not going to want to be around me. They're going to label me a Jesus freak, and they're going to, you know, listen. In faith, walking in faith rarely makes sense. It rarely makes sense. There's just some, you know, there's just some things in life that just can't be explained, and the only answer that seems to make sense is God only knows. As a follower of Jesus, we're to walk by faith and not by sight, which translates into the outcome is God's responsibility, whereas obedience is ours. Leave the outcomes to God. We're just to obey. It's like an old song. Somebody should write a hymn about that. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. That would be a good hymn to write. I bet you it would be timeless and ageless. I bet you they'd still sing it 100 years from now, right? Listen, it's just incredible. Trust and obey. Obedience is ours, right? The outcome is left up to God. Now, back in Acts, verse 12, 27 verse 12, it says, since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete, facing both southwest and northwest. Now, you see, any time we ignore God's warning, we set ourselves up for disaster. We set ourselves up. When God warns us and we ignore it, we set ourselves up for disaster. Listen to what it says in 13. When a gentle south wind began to blow, all right, notice that this port is facing, right? Where is it facing? It's facing southwest and northwest, right? So when a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force, right? What's the worst place to be other than like down in Florida when a hurricane hits? On the open sea. Ridiculous, right? A wind of hurricane force. I believe some of them say that it's a typhoon, but hurricanes and typhoons, the difference between them is where they're located, right? Geographically. And so it's just this huge storm cell, and it was called the Northeaster, or the Northeaster, right? So think about this. Think of where this port is facing, and they're trying to get there? No. So called the Northeaster, swept down from the island. Sometimes we ignore God's warning for the sake of immediate results. And at first it feels like we're making progress, but the progress we think we're making ultimately leads us towards what? Disaster. It leads us towards disaster. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 16, in the first part of 26. He says this, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? What good is it? What good is it to make more money if you have to cut corners and cheat others to do it? What good is it to acquire more stuff that continually won't satisfy your thirst for more? What good is it to achieve career success if it means sacrificing your family to do it? Short-term gain at the cost of long-term loss just isn't worth it. Back to Acts, verse 15, the ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and were driven along. Driven along, just going with the flow. Going with the flow, just being driven along, swept away. Except for the fact that they completely lost control. They were completely losing control in this situation very fast. And it goes on to say, in 16 and 17, as we passed to the lee of a small island called Kara, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. When the men had hoisted it aboard, they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. They had to put ropes under the ship to hold it together. I've seen some old shipping movies that they've done that, and it's crazy, right? Fearing that they would run aground on the sidebars of Syrtis, they lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. There it is again. That phrase, say it with me, driven along. Now, I'm curious, how many people here are living your life like that? You're just being driven along by your situations, right? Students, I want to speak to you just for a moment. And I want to speak some wisdom into your life. Don't get driven along. Don't get driven along by what the crowd is saying, all right? And don't get driven along by the crowd that's not heading towards God. Don't get driven along by popular beliefs that aren't lining up with the Word of God. And don't get driven along into relationships with others if they're not following Jesus, because they're only in it to win it for them, not for you necessarily, right? And don't get driven along believing the labels that culture wants to put on you, right? Don't get driven along thinking success is measured in dollars and cents and by bank accounts, right? Don't get driven along thinking purity isn't important. Don't get driven along. Just don't give in. Don't accept it. Don't. Whatever you do, don't stop running hard towards God. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't believe what they're telling you about you. Let the Creator, the only one who designed you and knit you together upon conception, by the way, not after you were born out of the womb, but upon conception, He knit you together. Your DNA was fully intact. So don't let some other created being tell you who you should be. Don't get driven along. Don't get driven along. Because I'll tell you, if we don't run hard after God, we're destined for a shipwreck. We're destined for a shipwreck when we leave God out of the picture. So don't ever let God not be in the picture of your lives. Whatever you do, students, all right? This is how the Spirit of God works in our lives. He doesn't threaten us, and He doesn't condemn us. He doesn't scream or yell at us. He calls out to us, and what does He usually use? Is it a big thundering voice? Hi, my name's God. No, you know, it's like, hey, 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 it's me, it's God. That's how He talks to us. He talks to us with a gentle whisper. And you know what? That's maybe why we miss it so many times. It's like, I can't hear God. I can't. It's because we're so drowned out by the noise of life that we're not on His frequency listening in. Right? The psalmist writes in Psalm 42:7, and I love this, deep calls to deep. He's calling to the deepest part of you. He's calling to that deep part of you. Deep calls to deep. And whatever God is saying, we need to pay more attention here, right? If He's saying, you need to pay more attention here. You need to put your heart back in this. You need to get back over there and do it like you used to. You've lost your passion. You've lost your intensity. You've lost your focus. You've lost your first love. It's time to be drawn over here. And that's what God is whispering to us. When we're being driven along, we lose our hold and we lose our anchor. And some of you know what I'm talking about, because that's why you're here today. That's why you're here today. You've been driven along and you're reaching for something, and you might not know exactly what it is, but you being in this very room, hearing these very words, here at this very morning, I'm just going to tell you, today's your moment. Today's your moment. Don't ignore it. Don't miss it. Embrace it. Chase it with all you've got, because today God has brought you here for a particular reason and purpose. Back to Acts 18 to 20, it says, we took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard, right? On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. In verse 20, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. It's difficult when the storm keeps raging without letting up. You try everything imaginable, but nothing seems to work. There's no progress. And when you're in the heat of it and in the thick of it, when all seems lost, we go from distress to despair. And we just get driven along believing it's never going to be any different. I might as well accept it. I'm always going to be depressed. I'm always going to be overweight. I'm always going to have health issues. I'm always going to be lonely. I'm always going to be addicted. I'm always going to be bitter. I'm always going to have this negative viewpoint ringing in my head. This is how it is. I might as well just accept it. And we just get driven along and driven along, and we just give up hope. But then Paul stands up and leans in. And this is what he says. It's not very encouraging at first, just going to warn you. And this is what he says. After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss." Thanks, Paul. Just what I needed. I told you so speech. Great, Paul. Can we throw you overboard next? Right? Thanks for stating the obvious, Captain Obvious. Like, I get it. We can't go back. Right? You know, I get visions of Brainy Smurf in my head. I don't know if you ever grew up with the Smurfs while growing up. And Brainy Smurf was this kind of like little know-it-all with glasses. He was like a little nerd. And he would say, "Well, if you wouldn't do this..." And they would always like kick him out. And he would always land on his head. It was kind of funny. You're just getting a picture of how my brain works. Right? But it's crazy because, you know, he's... But Paul doesn't just stop there. He doesn't just stop giving them the know-it-all speech. He doesn't stop there. He's just getting started, actually. Actually, he's just about to get his preach on. "Listen up. If you had done things God's way the first time, you wouldn't all be in this mess. Are you ready to listen up? Because I've got more to say." That's what he's getting. He's getting the platform here. And this is what he says. "But now..." Oh my goodness, "but now," oh, these words are going to just jack you up for the rest of the service, come on. "I urge you to keep up your courage because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. But now," I really, really believe that this is really for somebody here today, "but now, you've been waiting, searching, hoping, and here it is, but now, you see none of us can go back and undo the decisions that were made last week or last month or last year or when I was even 17 years old. No, you can't go back. There's no do-over, reset button, no easy button to press. However, there is, say it with me, but now we serve a but now, right now, God, though sorrow, disappointment, frustration, hopelessness lasts for the night, his what? His joy comes in the morning," right? Somebody needs to know this today, that your joy is here this morning. Come on, we might get pressed, but we're not crushed. We might get persecuted, but we're not abandoned. We might get struck down, but not destroyed. Why? Because we're blessed beyond the curse of our past decisions, past choices, past mistakes, that his promise, God's promise, will endure because we serve a but now, right now God. Oh, there it is. We serve a but now, right now God. Right now is the right time to do the right thing. Isn't it good to know that we serve a but now, right now God? That it doesn't matter how bad we've messed up. It doesn't matter what kind of situation I'm in. It doesn't. He'll still come looking for me. He won't leave me where I am. He won't leave me being driven along. He'll come for me. He's reaching out his hand, and he's willing to save me. He's calling my name. He's still loving me and accepting me. He will use me again. And he said, "Not one of you will be lost. Not one of you will be lost." Now, that's good news in a hopeless situation, is it not? Now, about the boat. It's not looking so good for the boat. Only the ship will be destroyed. Let me ask you, is that good news or bad news? Well, it all depends on where your priorities are at, right? You know, and if what you care about most is the boat, when the boat goes down, guess what? Your hopes go down with it. They go down with it. And Paul said, "Keep up your courage, men, because not one of you will be lost. However, it's not going to be in the boat. Though I would prefer to be in the boat, it's not happening the way or that way. I like the boat. I'm a fan of the boat. I'm totally into the boat, right? But there's no hope left in the boat. In other words, some things are never going to be the way they used to be. They're never going to be the way they used to be. You're not going to be able to go and rewind and do a do-over, Right? It's kind of like back in the 80s. Remember what we do with cassettes to rewind? We'd take the pencil and we'd put it in those little wheels and we'd spin it back. There's no rewind button, people. There's no rewind. For you, your generation, it's those little arrows. You just click the arrows. It's usually double arrows, right? And sometimes there's a line right there, and you can skip chapters, right? And backwards, right? Digital age. Pray for these guys. I heard cassettes are coming back. You'll learn to appreciate the pencil, all right? But you see, there's no do-over. That moment's over. It's history. It's gone. But God has moved on to the what? But now moment. He's moved on to the but now. And so should you. Paul goes on to say in verse 23, for last night, oh, you're going to love this. I'm just getting a little jacked here. Last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood where? Beside me. Oh, you're getting into this now. Come on. I don't mind a little. You guys can pretend you're all black here and we're just getting all that soul in there. Come on. I preach a little bit stronger when you get a little bit more active and vocal, all right? This is so rich. Don't you love what it says here? The God whom I belong to, the God who I serve, stood where? He stands where? Say it with me. Beside me. Beside me. God goes before us. He goes behind us. But most importantly, he stands beside us. He stands with us. Aren't you glad we serve an omnidirectional God? I sure am. We serve a 360 God. All right? He's gone into my future and prepared it for me. He's gone into my past and he's redeemed it. He's right here beside me in this moment to comfort me and give me courage. Give me courage. Isaiah 43:2. Oh, this is such a rich text here. You're going to love this. Prophet Isaiah said this. He said, when you pass through the waters, I'll be what? With you. I can imagine this was ringing in Paul's head. Oh, I'm in the water. I'm going to be in the water soon. Yeah, I'm going to be doing that polar dip in October in the ocean. Okay, I got you, right? When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. The God we serve is not some faraway, distant God. He's right beside us. And he can keep, and if we can keep our courage up because of that, right, we will have hope. And the boat might be going down, but my courage is going up. Your bank account may be going down, but my courage is going up. Your grades might be going down, but with a little bit of work, they can go back up again, right? The conditions that are beyond my control, get your courage up because it doesn't matter because God has got this. Don't stop. Don't stop. Our conditions may not always be in our control like we would love them to be. We don't always get to decide what kind of skies we face. We don't always get to decide what kind of seas we'll sail on. We don't get to decide the weather or the forecast, but there are some things that are outside our control, but our courage, that's in our control. That's one thing we can control. That's ours to own. It depends on what you're focused on. Some of you have lost your courage and you've lost your confidence and you've lost your hope and you've lost your joy and you want to know why. Because your hope was left in the boat that's sitting on the ocean floor. Your hope was in your circumstances. So God said, sometimes I got to break your boat apart so I can teach you how to let your hope float to the surface without it. Oh, man, that might have been a good title for this, Hope Floats, right? Hope floats, people. Keep up your courage, because no matter what condition the boat is in, God's going to keep you afloat. Why? Because he's beside us. He's beside us. And then he goes on to say in verse 24 and 25, do not be afraid. Paul, you must, and he's talking about what God was speaking into him. Right? This is what Paul is saying. He said, last night my God stood beside me. And this is what he said. Now think about this for a minute. Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men. For I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Now listen. This would have maybe been a blessing for Paul to die in the shipwreck. Can I fast forward for just a moment? Do you know what is awaiting Paul in Rome? It didn't happen immediately, but he lost his head. He was decapitated for his faith. And that was considered a gracious death because other guys got crucified. Other guys got tortured. Other guys got mauled in the Colosseums. But he lost his head. And God's saying, hey, God, hey, Paul, I'm beside you. And I've given you the lives of everybody on this ship. Right? Because I need you to go stand trial. Wow. Paul got it. He understood. He knew what it was meant to persevere. And you got to persevere in order to receive. Right? So keep up your courage. Now, just to fast forward to the end of this particular story, in verse 44, it says, of Acts 27, it says, everyone reached land in safety. Everybody made it. All 276 souls on the boat were spared. They were spared so that God's purposes would still happen. Why? Because God goes before us. He's redeemed our past, but he's also with us in the present. Don't give up. Don't stop. God's got this. Don't give up. Don't give in. Now's not the time to sink with the ship. Get your courage up because God has got this. You may have to do some swimming. You got to maybe do the back crawl. You got to do the front crawl. You may have to tread water or dolly paddle or do a float on your boat, on your back or whatever. You might have to do some swimming, but don't give up. Don't stop because God's got this. God's got this. And you may have to do some swimming, but God's not going to let you drown. He's got this. Don't stop. Don't quit. Keep swimming. Oh, man, I kind of feel a little Dory coming on here. Keep on swimming. Keep on. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. 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 Right? What do? We swim. 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 Don't stop because God's got this. Sometimes you got to just keep swimming. And some of you are drowning right now and you're thinking the waters are coming in. I want to just encourage you today. Keep swimming. Keep swimming. You never know what's going to happen. You might be on your sixth lap around, and if you quit now, you're going to miss that seventh lap, and the walls come tumbling down on your situation. So don't stop. God has got this. Whatever you're facing, don't look at what you're facing. If it's a big wall or if it's a big sea or whatever, don't tell God how big it is. Tell that big situation, that wall, that sea, that sunken ship, how big your God is. How big your God is. Because your God isn't far away. Where is he? He's right beside you. He's right beside you. He's right beside you. So don't stop. Don't stop. Your ship might be at the bottom of the ocean floor, but where does my help come from? Our help comes from the one who's above it all. And I'm glad that the one who's above it all has a name. His name is Jesus. And Jesus is our Redeemer. Jesus is our Savior. We were all drowning in sin, and Jesus came along and lift us up, right? He lift us up. One of these times I'm going to preach on Jesus walking on the water, and that's another great boat story for you. But I just want to encourage you, if you're today, and you're saying, whoa, Pastor, this is really resonating here. How did you know? I didn't know. God knew. God knew, and he's speaking to you. Don't stop. Don't stop. I'm going to call the worship team up, and we're going to close. It's Palm Sunday. It's Palm Sunday. Listen, Jesus was kind of like the hero. He was receiving his 15 minutes of fame as he was coming into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. And everybody's shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. But in his mind, I'm wondering if he's thinking, yeah, in about a week, they'll be screaming, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. I love that picture of Jesus looking over Jerusalem and weeping over it. Weeping over Jerusalem. Weeping over his people. That would yell, crucify him. The people that he would pray for, even with the last breaths that he had. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Aren't you glad our Jesus Christ didn't stop? There was lots of opportunities where he could have. I mean, the devil, when he tempted him in the desert, he could have had the keys to the earth, right? Bow down to me, Jesus, and I'll give you everything you see. Give you all the kingdoms. You won't even have to go to the cross. I'll just give you it all, right? Easy way out, right? Here he is on the cross hanging. They say, oh, here he is, the king of the Jews, and the son of God. You know, he should be able to just call down legions to say he could have. He could have. But our Jesus didn't halfway do it. He did it all. He didn't stop. He didn't stop for any one of us. And so today, maybe you've just been there thinking, oh, you don't know what I've done, Pastor. My life is a mess. That's all right. Actually, God prefers it that way. Why? Because He makes messes into masterpieces all the time. I was using the analogy, I think it was on Wednesday night at our gathering. I was talking about a broken vase. See, God doesn't just take the pieces of the broken vase and kind of throw them off to the side and then put a new vase there and give us a brand new, right? You know what he does? He pulls out his Holy Spirit and his son Jesus to be the glue that holds the pieces of those vases together. And you know what happens? Is the vase actually becomes stronger. And not only does it become stronger, but it looks all cracked and it looks all vintage, right? But it's a reminder. It's a reminder that once we were broken, but now we're made whole. And those cracks, you've got some cracks in your life. Don't look at those cracks as regrets. Look at those cracks as this. I have been redeemed. God has saved me. And these cracks are a reminder of the life before Jesus. And Jesus is calling to you. He's calling to you. On Good Friday, we're going to celebrate what he did for us, the price that he paid for each of us. I invite you to come join us. Bring somebody who's maybe never heard about Jesus before. Let's stand and pray.